finally, Frackin' Friday. And yes, the Jackbox is tonight. A little late. I'm guessing 9:30-ish, 9:45-ish. There'll be constant updates on the Facebook page. There will. MST is back. I'm so damn happy. I'm so excited. Yay. And then, yes, I promise that PRS will figure out the Apple thing because I'm just a dummy. Welcome to the 4th of March, everyone. We're the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man that wishes you the best way he knows how. It's podcasting for Siegfried.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Aw, that's so sweet of me. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the one for Billy Flynn.
I know you won't break the rules. There aren't any.
Not the way I operate. What happened this fine day there, yo?
In 1275, Chinese astronomers observe and record a total eclipse of the sun.
Turnaround dark eyes? 1634, Samuel Cole opens the first tavern in Boston, Massachusetts.
1675, John Flamsteed is appointed the first astronomer royal of England.
In 1774, the Orion Nebula is first sighted by German-born British astronomer William Herschel.
1877, Emil Berliner invented the microphone.
Thanks, Emil. 1887, Gottlieb Daimler unveils his first automobile, which he demonstrates in Esslingen in Sinslaster, Germany. Words I can't say.
1925, Calvin Coolidge becomes the first president of the United States to broadcast his inaugural speech over the radio. His address is broadcast over 21 U.S. radio stations, the largest network arrangement to date.
1936, in Germany, the airship Hindenburg makes its maiden flight. It's the largest aircraft in history, and at the time of its first flight, thought the airship represented the future of air travel. But then, of course, 37, the Hindenburg disaster kind of changed people's opinions.
1950, Disney's Cinderella is released in theaters across the United States.
1955, the first radio facsimile transmission is sent across the United States.
1959, the NASA spacecraft Pioneer 4, the second artificial satellite ever, and the first launched by the U.S., misses its intended destination, the moon.
1968, Orbiting Geophysical Observatory 5, launched from Cape Canaveral, carries 25 experiments, none of which apparently came back and killed us.
1974, Atari introduces Quadra Pong Pong to arcades in North America. Key Games releases the game simultaneously as Elimination. The games are the first widely distributed to be housed in cocktail cabinets, sometimes referred to as table cabinets. However, all future cocktail cabinets feature a flat surface rather than a curved top, because, you know, drinks.
Exactly. 1977, the first Cray 1 supercomputer is shipped to the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. The first Freon-cooled Cray 1 supercomputer costs $19 million and will be used to design sophisticated weapon systems. How about a nice game of chess?
1979, photographs taken by the NASA robotic space probe Voyager 1 reveals Jupiter's rings.
Same day, same year, Brick Tamlin swims ashore, but is presumed dead.
1980, Brick Tamlin arrives at his gravestone, believing that he is dead. He is reunited with Ron Burgundy, Brian Fantana, and Champ Kind.
Whammy. 1991, Sierra releases Space Quest IV, Roger Wilco, and the Time Rippers for personal computers and floppy disks. Among the first games to make use of motion capture animation, it cost over $1 million to produce, which in and of itself was newsworthy, and oh my god, did I love that game.
1994, the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Video Game Violence reconvenes. Seven prominent members of the game industry, including 3DO, Acclaim, Atari, Electronic Arts, Nintendo, Philips, and Sega, assure the committee that the industry will implement a self-regulated rating system for video games in time for the Christmas buying season. The companies will form the Interactive Digital Software Association, or IDSA, in April. The IDSA will establish the Entertainment Software Rating Board, or ESRB, to create and enforce ratings. By 2003, the ESRB will have rated 8,000 games from 350 separate publishers.
1994, Billy Madison passes the fourth grade.
1996, Comet Hayawataki is imaged by the U.S. asteroid orbiter near Earth, asteroid Rendezvous Shoemaker.
1997, U.S. President Bill Clinton bans federally funded human cloning research, implying that there was some.
Just because something gets banned doesn't mean that there actually was some before. Probably. 2000, Sony releases the PlayStation 2 video game console in Japan.
And seeds of semi-nuclear little war begin to sprout over decades, and it will destroy Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas, which will lead to sleep, a process of population control enforced by the government when people reach last day at age 21. They report to a sleep shot, and they're willingly executed with pleasure-inducing toxic gas, and a person's age is revealed by their palm, the flower crystal embedded inside of it in their right hand that changes color every 7 years. Yellow for ages up to 6, blue up to ages 13, then red ages up to 20, then blinks on your last day and turns black at 21. It's a hell of a run, Logan.
2001, in Australia, forwarding email becomes illegal with the passing of the 2000 Digital Agenda Act, as it is interpreted as a technical infringement of personal copyright.
And that's why memes never caught on. 2006, the final attempt to contact Pioneer 10IS is made by Deep Space Network, but no response is received. It was launched March 3rd, 1972, and became the first probe to pass through the asteroid belt July 15th of 72, or since there was no answer, probably just smashed, right? I mean, come on.
2008, Gary Gygax, the co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game, dies at his home in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
We were very sad doing the show the next day. 2010, just minutes before 8 o'clock, the 10 billionth tweet is posted to the Twitter social network. It comes 28 months after the 1 billionth tweet on November 12th of 2008, and less than 5 months after the 5 billionth tweet, October 19th, 2009. It's made by a protected account not visible to the public, and because of the 2000 Digital Agenda Act, we can't tell you what it was. Birthdays?
Josh Bowman is 34. Matt in Level Up, Revenge, Jack the Ripper in the Time After Time series.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. Scott Michael Foster is 37 from Greek, Chasing Life, Kristoff in Once Upon a Time, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Shavar Ross is 51. Dudley on Different Strokes, Weasel on Family Matters.
Patrick Roach is 53. That's Randy from the Trailer Park Boys.
Daniel Roebuck is 58. Cliff on Matlock, Bubba Hotep, Dr. Arzt on Lost, and Man in the High Castle. And he's also somebody who's been in about 5 million things you've seen.
God, because what was he? He was just in something we watched.
Yeah.
Because wait, wasn't he just in Peacemaker? Good Lord. Steven Weber is 60 from Wings, Jeffrey, Shining, the TV version, Green Goblin, and Venom on Ultimate Spider-Man. Hey, there's his name that we couldn't think of the other day.
Oh, that's right. McKelty Williamson is 61. Bubba in Forrest Gump, Con Air, and was great as the bad guy in Justified.
Ron Fassler, 62, Captain Glacier in Alienation, the TV show and TV movies, not the original movie, because, you know.
Catherine O'Hara is 64, Home Alone, SCTV, Schitt's Creek, so many things in the 80s, and needs to be in any sort of a reboot or relaunch or re-soft whatever, return of Beetlejuice.
Damn right. Clinton Spilsbury is 67. He was the Lone Ranger in the 1981 Legend of the Lone Ranger.
G2 Kambuka is 76. Maurice in Harlem Nights, Blackula, Dr. Black, and Mr. Hyde.
Paula Prentice is 80 from The Stepford Wives. That's the original. Parallax View and Saturday the 14th.
1916, William Allen, an American actor, director, and producer, helped create The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Didn't create, helped create. Not really helped create. He basically just stole the work of a fantastic female special effects creator.
1924, Bert Parnaby, best known as Father Christmas in the BBC, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
1934, Anne Haney, Alberta Meacham on Mama's Family.
1947, Gunnar Hansen, who will always be Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And 1949, Cookie Mueller, Cookie in Multiple Maniacs and Pink Flamingos, and of course, Polyester.
Which is definitely not on television tonight.
On CBS, we've got the U.S. Cellular new undercover boss, Magnum P.I. and Blue Bloods.
ABC's got a new Shark Tank and 2020.
NBC has a new The Blacklist and Dateline, Bridges TV.
Fox, it's WWE Friday Night SmackDown.
Brother CW has Ghostbusters on a new Penn & Teller Fool Us.
AMC, This Man is on... No, just Man on Fire, not This Man.
FX has Deadpool 2.
Is it the Fred Savage version or the theatrical? I don't know.
Well, they probably save that for Christmas time.
True. FXX Simpsons Marathon has Your Heartbroken Kid and A Star is Torn.
FXM has the sequel to the movie that nobody asked for in the first place, The Angry Birds Movie 2.
What? It answers all the questions the first movie left out. I mean, sure, we know they're angry, but the exact motivations for each one, including the childhood trauma, just was barely broached upon. However, there were little clues left dangling the whole way through, which the second movie really brings to fruition. BBC America is showing Apollo 13, but if it was Apollo the 13th, I'd watch the hell out of that.
Wasn't that Jason X?
Right?
Sippy. Underworld Awakening.
TBS has Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2. Notice they're not showing Rush Hour 3.
Oh, probably for time. TNT has Central Intelligence, which is a lot of fun.
Because ain't nobody got time for that nonsense. Science Channel has a new Unearthed.
USA, get your engines revving for new RuPaul's Drag Race.
But tonight we'll be watching the Lifetime Movie Network. Soon after Izzy moves with her family back to her husband's hometown, she discovers their daughter's teacher, Emma, has an obsession with her and her life and a lust for her husband. After seducing Izzy's husband, Emma will stop at nothing to get the family she craves. And the obsession turns deadly as Emma forces Izzy to fight back or lose her family forever. Maria Brice and Omar Gooding star in You Can Never Go Home Again. Without finding your crazy ex-stalker.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Gabby becomes a bit suspicious when Stefan introduces her as his friend to Lonnie, who was interested in hiring him and Chad for a shoot. Then shenanigans going to sue for Chad and Stefan, but that's what happens with your pals. Your comrades, your chums. Hashtag Chad forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
Let's read this one anyway. Greetings, GRD crew. Holy cow, my dudes. This week was a B*** I-T-C-H to figure out, but I believe that Chad and Abby are on. Cheers. That is from Jared in Anaheim. Well, Jared, congratulations. And with your guess, you've got us one below, tying the record for the lowest all-time correct number of right guesses. Right now, it holds that place. So everyone's got over the weekend to see if we can maintain this record, beat this record, or just go, nobody really cares, you jackass. Why don't you move on with life? Either way, let us know what it is. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, a voicemail, a text message. The magic numbers are
510-GRD-CROW.
And yes, that means a couple people did just guess without writing a letter. Although we'd still love to hear from you. It's like, are there people that just play podcast games and that's all they do? Okay, here's an entry.
Maybe.
No, hi, no, just boom.
Well, I mean, some people, they think of it kind of like a text or something like that. They're just messaging.
Fair enough.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Hey, this is Joel Hodson. I'm the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, but you probably remember me as Comic Magician Spy Agent J. And you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
That's how I got that drop. I said, okay, well, what if Agent J did the drop? He's like, oh, okay, you're actually a fan. I appreciate that.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure, and movies are out now. What's in the theaters, sir?
Well, in limited release, something is taking possession of the hearts and minds of the populace. Kim, Mac, and Jane try to convince themselves it's paranoia, but before long, the city is besieged by the changed. By the time they realize an alien intelligence has merged with their neighbor, Bill, a horde of changed is amassing outside their suburban home. Claire Foley, Jason Alan Smith, Carly Evers, and Tony Todd star in The Changed.
In nationwide release, Batman ventures into Gotham City's underworld when a sadistic killer leaves behind a trail of cryptic clues, and the evidence begins to lead closer to home, and the scales of the perpetrator's plans become clear, and he must forge new relationships, unmask the culprit, and bring justice to the abuse of power and corruption that has long plagued this metropolis. Robert Pattinson, Colin Farrell, Zoe Kravitz star in The Batman.
Now, for someone who's so associated with bats, I'm surprised at how little blood-sucking the Batman does. It's not like the super wealthy Bruce Wayne, am I right? Eat the rich. Anywho, Svengoolie will help satiate you if you need a little more bloodsucker this weekend. He has the tale of Countess Maria Zaleska, who, after appearing in London, draws the attention of Dr. Von Helsing to see if she is, in fact, a vampire. See Otto Kruger, Gloria Holden, and Marguerite Churchill in Dracula's Daughter! Only on MeTV.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Apple TV Plus has ordered a series for Mr. Robot creator Sam Esmail's TV adaptation of Fritz Lang's classic 1927 film, Metropolis.
Let's all watch as the world goes to the devil.
The original silent film, set in a futuristic urban dystopia, follows the attempts of the city's master's wealthy son and a saintly figure among the workers to overcome the gulf separating the classes in their city.
But the mediator of the head and the hands must be the heart.
Ismail's version comes out of his overall deal at UCP and would like to go back to Thea von Harbo's original 1925 novel to flesh things out a bit. Ismail and Chad Hamilton will executive produce, though no word on a target date for airing the show is known yet.
Oh, tomorrow thousands will ask in fury and desperation.
The original silent film, considered one of the first feature films in the sci-fi genre, and though it was panned in its initial release, has been praised by even the likes of Martin Scorsese, and was named the 35th greatest film of all time by the British Film Institute. What exactly is the series itself going to do with the story? Words can't describe it. Metropolis must be seen. Incredible. Don't be a machinimich. Yeah, that's the robot.
Warner Brothers has pulled the Batman release in Russia. Disney has pulled its theatrical releases from Russia. And Netflix won't carry the 20 Russian free-to-air propaganda state channels that they could be required to host under Russian law. More and more of the entertainment industry is putting its muscle behind what some are calling the canceling of Russia for its actions in Ukraine, which, of course, now leaves Russia with fewer viewing options.
Well, they still get access to Yakov Smirnoff films, right? Moscow on the Hudson's a delight.
Pulling U.S. theatrical releases from Russia is a brave financial move set to impact both studios and local exhibitors as they come out of the pandemic. However, it remains to be seen whether Russia itself will curb business for U.S. films abroad.
Why would they even need U.S. films when they have, like, Stand Up Undercover, Silver Spoon the Movie, and Secret Magic Control Agency?
Russia's invasion of Ukraine has drawn condemnation, rightfully so, from the U.S. and most of the international community, with a number of film and TV organizations planning boycotts of state-backed Russian elements.
Well, of course, that means they're going to have less money.
Russia has to determine if this is worth missing a number of big movies on the horizon with Paramount's Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sony Marvel's Morbius, Universal's Ambulance, and Warner Brothers' Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Wait. Has the Wizarding World cut off ties with Coldestoritz?
The U.S., European Union, U.K., and Canada are among those hammering Russia with sanctions over their invasion of Russia, barring Russian banks from SWIFT, a global financial messaging service, and freezing the assets of Russia's central bank. President Vladimir Putin reportedly held crisis talks with his top economic consigliere after the ruble crashed to a record low against the U.S. dollar. Russian central bank have more than doubled interest rates to 20%, and the Moscow Stock Exchange closed for the day. And with Russian citizens openly boycotting and getting angered at the government's actions, Vlad should maybe take a pause and think. He could face an angry crowd, and they may be getting the sunflower seeds ready.
Speaking of entertainment going away, Roku's non-certified channels, formerly known as private channels, which have attracted fans over the years, has been pulled from the platform.
Well, sure, I can get Pluto elsewhere, but how will I get my film on? How did they clip the wings of Red Bull TV?
Non-certified apps were programs that ran on Roku's platform but weren't officially available in the company's channel store. Developers could use the feature to test out apps before they were released to the public and included the ability to share access to the app if you had the right code.
Morse? Konami? Hitting the star button on my remote?
Some have taken advantage of the feature to install unofficial apps on their Roku hardware, a process sometimes referred to as sideloading. Now, that combo of under-the-radar visibility and a means to share access with others also made the feature popular for a wide range of uses, including offering pirated and or adult-oriented content. And while Roku has taken steps in the past to combat illegal content, now all non-certified channels are gone.
Oh, but there were so many good ones. There were some independent wrestling ones, had some obscure horror hosts. But now my life is going to be empty without access to Aryan TV. Not Aryan TV. Happy Kids and the Space Opera Channel.
If you're a developer working on a non-certified app, Roku still has a plan for you. You can enter the beta channels feature to continue testing your apps. The new feature includes a time limit of 120 days, and while developers can run up to 10 beta channels at a time, you can only have 20 users per channel at once. Those restrictions on time and overall use size will likely make beta channels less attractive to those looking to widely distribute illegal content, but time will tell if any workarounds or loopholes will be uncovered. But I say be careful, because if you go through this thing searching and swerving, you might unlock doors you don't want to go through. This could be a digital Lamet configuration. Or maybe this thing is actually a Roku-Rokubi, and that's using your head.
In one of the latest NASA Mars rover pictures, a particular shot really stood out. It sparked a lot of curiosity, since what was captured was clearly not from the red planet.
Was it a black monolith? Was it full of stars?
It was not an alien artifact. In fact, the object in the photo is man-made. A cylindrical drill bit left by the rover itself.
Oh, says who? The man? What does Mulder think?
Well, the NASA Mars Perseverance rover acquired the image using its left Mastcam Z camera, which is a pair of cameras that is located up high on the rover's mast. The internet, of course, went crazy seeing something that was unquestionably created by humans.
It could have been worse, though. I mean, they could have caught Matt Damon trying to grow potatoes. Oh, wait, that's not a potato.
According to NASA, the cylindrical object is an abrading bit that the rover ditched in July of last year. Well, per CNET, anyway. The cylindrical drill bit found on Mars was installed to the rover prior to launch in order to close out the drill and keep the inside protected. Look, this whole thing is probably just a distraction. Remember the 2020 drill bit on Mars? They swore it was just a rock. If we buy this, how are they going to explain the South Pole Angel? The robot leg? The thigh bone? Show us ice in a crater? More pieces from a protected rover? Or finally reveal Zero X was real? Whose crew was killed? By rock snakes.
And in, well, of course, news, an open-minded company called StripChat is offering its 200 employees the opportunity to masturbate during work hours, and they've even ordered custom-built pods to help them out.
Custom-built? BJ's membership club didn't have that.
Located within the brand's Cypress office, the four high-tech pods will be decked out with masturbatory accessories for the ultimate VR experience, complete with an Oculus Quest VR headset and 4K LED screen to watch the X-rated films.
Who does HR have purchasing films for this? More importantly, what sorry bastard has to clean them?
Employees will get to enjoy a 30-minute break to masturbate during work hours, as the company said it aims to provide current and attract new employees with a safe, comfortable space to rub one out. That's a direct quote.
30 minutes? Oh, guess the pod is not about living on the edge.
StripChat is also offering other companies the opportunity to lease out its pods for up to $50,000 for 6 months, including adding a VIP subscription to its platform. They are also letting you vote what to call it. The choices are down to Hand Party Hull, Onassium Capsule, or the current leader, liquidating the inventory. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And oh my God, the list of unused names for what that thing is called is massive. So if you've got one, we'd love to hear it. Also, writing this story made me think about the poor Lower Decks bastard that has to mop down and sanitize the holodeck, because you know that thing nasty. Ew. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. It's my turn. Wait. What's the wait time between people? I don't want to know. Drop us a note, podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, send a voicemail text message to the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
See ya.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man. Game over, man. Game over.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Too late, mister. Some old bar dog got all of my money.
The brave survivor of Bryant's Gap.
That's right.
What was it like?
It's
looks like hell.
Cavendish?
I don't know who it was. Why are you wearing a mask?
Because I'm in hiding, like you are.
What are you getting at, mister?
I want you to take me to Cavendish.
How would I know Cavendish?
You led the Rangers to him, and now you're going to lead me to him.
No, see, you got it all wrong. I'm a big hero around here. Isn't that right?
What did they promise you? Was it money? Land? What was worth having your friend slaughtered?
You're crazy. And I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Where is he?
I don't know Cavendish.
Why did he set up the Rangers? I know what happened there.
God's sake, mister. I can't.
You can and you will.